saying amen a lot of times. Because the other church we once went to, we were preaching. And then after the preach, people were quiet, you know. And I thought, this is a weird church. It's a black church. But it's a weird, they were so quiet. In black churches, there's noise, eh? There's usually noise. And then when I sat down, and then we had the tea and the coffees afterwards, and then a few people came and they were asking questions, you know. Like, so where are you from? And I thought, okay, this is an interesting question. And as they were asking these questions, I could realize they were trying to understand, which church are you from? Why do you guys preach this way, you know? Because in a black church, you must preach, you know. You must always say, amen, hallelujah, yes, you know. And then in the next church, that's what we did. And then the people were like, amen, amen, amen. Luckily, in the other one church, the pastor came and gave us, they were just so organized in terms of their program, you know. They know which song and when to anchor and this and this and that. And then he was telling me that at the end, when you finished your preach, you must anchor. And I wondered, what is anchor? You know, you must now put the fire. So at the end, that's when the band comes in and they play the ding, and then you must anchor, ding, and you must keep anchoring, and that revives people, you know. People walk out revived, recharged. So it was just so amazing how to see that all churches are different, and that we hear the Lord all differently. Amen. Are we ready for the word?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I missed you all. We're going to open up the book of Psalms 31. It's a long one. Dave had said maybe we should do a series on this. I said, no, let's see how we can summarize this. So we're going to read Psalms 31. And if you have your Bibles with you, or if it's on the screen, we can start. Father, we just want to thank you for your word this morning. We want to thank you that you are such a good father. We want to thank you for your promises in your word that are good, that are always yes and amen. We want to thank you for your protection. We want to thank you for your grace. We want to thank you that you are the fortress of our souls. We want to thank you that you continuously rescue us in times of trial, in times of trouble. We want to thank you, Father, that you've given us something, Lord, that we can follow and we can drink from. We thank you for your word this morning. We bless it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please brace yourself. Please tell your neighbor, please brace yourself. There's going to be a lot of scriptures today. Lots of scriptures. Take it easy. We'll get there. So, Psalms 31, it reads, O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to listen to me. Rescue me quickly. Be my rock of protection, a fortress where I will be safe. You are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this danger. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Is there anyone in danger today? Pull me from the trap my enemy set for me, for I find protection in you alone. I entrust my spirit in your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. I hate those who worship idols. I trust in the Lord alone. I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, Lord, for you have seen my troubles, and you care about the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to my enemies, but have set me in a safe place. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in distress. Tears blur my eyes. My body and soul are withering away. I am dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I am wasting away within. I am scorned by all my enemies and despised by my neighbors. Even my friends are afraid to come near me. Oof. Has anyone gone through that before? Where everybody just moves away from you. When they see me on the streets, they run away. I am ignored as if I were dead, as if I were a broken pot. I have heard the many rumors about me, and I'm surrounded by terror. My enemies conspire against me, plotting to take my life. But I am trusting in you, Lord, saying, you are my God. Amen. My future is in your hands. Rescue me from those who hunt me down relentlessly. Let your favor shine on your servant. In your unfailing love, rescue me. Don't let me be disgraced, O Lord, for I call out to you for help. Let the wicked be disgraced. Let them lie silent in the grave. Silence their lying lips, those proud and arrogant lips that accuse the godly. How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you, who lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from those who conspire against them. You shelter them in your presence, far from accusing tongues. Praise the Lord, for he has shown the wonders of his unfailing love. He kept me safe when my city was under attack. In panic, I cried out, I am cut from the Lord, but you heard my cry for mercy and answered my call for help. We're almost there. Love the Lord, all you godly ones, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to him, but he harshly punishes the arrogant. So be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Praise the Lord. This is David, family. David, the man of war, who goes through so much torment when we read the book of Psalms. So the book of Psalms is broken down into five books. So the one that we've read is part of the first books. It is a collection of prayers, it's a collection of praise, and it's a collection of worship. It addresses David's personal experiences, right? What his soul went through here on earth. It gives a voice to the emotions that we feel as people. You know, it gives a voice. You know, there was someone who said something this week, and I thought to myself, exactly, that's how I feel. Because sometimes we feel stuff and we don't have the voice to actually express how we feel. But when we hear someone else speak about it, it's like, okay, so this is what really is happening, right? So it gives a voice to the emotions that we feel today. And these emotions are due to the external pressures of life. Right? Remember in the book of Job, when the Lord said to Satan, don't touch his soul, right? But then there was pressures around that poke you, right? And they'd come for your soul. It also speaks of our individual work in life. We all have individual work here on earth. Each and every person who's born has a purpose, has a mission, and God has a plan for you. And so is David. David was a man of war, and God had called him to be a king, so there was a mission on his life. He did not choose the mission. God chose it for him, right? And so as he goes through life as a king, you can imagine what really is going on in his life. And so this is what he faces. The Psalms also highlight how we deal with our problems. They highlight the issues of life. Yeah. We get angry, right? We get revengeful. Okay. When someone does stuff, you don't know how to deal. You're like, hey, I'll blacksmith you. Yeah? You don't know me. Yeah? I will deal with you. We go through frustrations. We don't know how to, you know, how to deal with the external pressures of life. So this, the Psalms really help us how to deal, because David shows us how to deal with the issues of life, with our emotions, these unpleasant feelings and emotions that we get through. It also highlights us in how we can commit ourselves to the Lord, right? How we commit our emotions to the Lord, how we commit the journeys of our lives to the Lord. And in that, the Lord promises us that he would deliver us, because he's called us for a purpose, and he would never leave us nor forsake us. But he calls us for this mission, and he says, if you commit yourself to me, if you commit yourself to me, I'll take care of you. Amen. So this is the basis of the Psalms, the first book. It talks about us, the work that we are called for, right? And the issues of it. So today, the message title is Relying on God's Promises. Relying on God's Promises. So what do we know about David? What do we know about David? We know that David was a king of Israel, the king of Judah, but appointed by God. Didn't appoint himself, he was appointed by the Lord. We know that he's a man of courage, right? A man of loyalty to God. We know that in the word of God, God says, David was always after my heart. He's a man after God's heart. He's a man of courage. He's a man that defeated Goliath when everybody else could not defeat this giant monster, you know. Today in our lives, we look at monsters and we turn away. We turn a blind eye. I was at a party a couple of weeks ago, and it was a kid's party, and one of the guys was wearing the Spider-Man costume, you know, and my daughter saw this big Spider-Man coming from a mile, and she already was starting to look the other way, you know. I thought, this is what really happens in life, right? When big things, when these giants, you look at them, you just sometimes turn a blind eye, but you know that it's there. And this David was one of the guys that went for Goliath. He was a man of music. He was a man that could sing and the presence of the Lord would come. You know, there are people that when they play music, the presence of God just comes. There are people that pray. All of a sudden, we are crying. We're on the floor. The presence of God is here. He had that intimacy with the Lord that when he sang, even Saul himself said, please come, because when you are here and singing, I'm okay, because the presence of God is with us. And so David was this man. He was a man of enormous spoils from war. When they went out to war and came back, he would take everything. So he was a wealthy man. He was a man of land, of gold and silver, of property, of agriculture, anything you could think of. He was a man who ruled an empire. His word was his word. This is a man who declares a word. Wherever he is, people must come. They come now. This is the David. This is the man who had everything we could ever ask for. This is a man that I want that, Lord. I want to be a king. I want all of this. But thank you, Jesus Christ, because when you died, you made me a king.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This intimacy he had with the Lord, beautiful intimacy he had with the Lord. How do we know this? When we look at 1 Samuel 13:14, this is when Samuel delivers a word to Saul, and he says to Saul, now your kingdom will no longer endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's commandment. So we know that David was a man after God's heart. That's when he didn't even know himself that he was a man after God's heart. God already knew, and he was already appointing him to be a king because of his nature. But yet, this very man who had the access to God, he could get into the Lord. He could enter the throne room with God. This man who had the riches and of kingdoms was a flawed man, like us. He was a man of sin. He was an adulterous man. He was a lustful man, right? He was a murderer, right? He was a man of violence. This was a man who also went through various trials. Various trials like you and me, like us Christians. You know, when us Christians, we go through trials, it's like Christians should not go through trials. Because if we look at David, and if we had to put David in the New Testament, we'd say, oh, David is a Christian because he comes from that lineage of Jesus Christ. But yet, this very David was experiencing the things that we experience today. He was experiencing constant attack physically in his body, in the community that he was in. He was a man that experienced also spiritual attack. This is what we've just read now when we read Psalms 31. We see that he was attacked physically and he was also attacked spiritually. He was attacked in his soul. His son, Absalom, was a curse. This is a son that gave him sleepless nights. This was a rebellious son. He suffered the loss of children. Not one, not two, three. I think five, if I'm not mistaken, kids that he lost. He experienced major mental disorders. Oh, we don't want to talk about that as Christians, no? Yeah? He experienced mental disorders. He experienced great depression. He experienced dementia. He experienced sickness of the mind and the soul and the body. He lost confidence in God a lot of the times. We just read it now. At times he just says, take me, Father. What is this life about? Amen. Are you still with me, family?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He had lost confidence, like us. We lose confidence in the Lord. The trial sometimes we face as Christians, people think, no, Christians, you know, if I come to become a Christian, I won't. There are trials and tribulations. We see it with David's life, and he gives us a voice to some of these things that we are facing. And this was all due to the mission of his life, like your mission. Hallelujah. Like your mission. You have a mission. The doors he opened as a man, the flesh, like we open the doors, right? We sin, we curse, we lie, we steal, we do things as well. We open doors and the external pressures that he faced because of a call of his life. Who can relate to this, family? Yeah. Let's not be spiritual. Let's not be people that say God is good all the time. I'm surprised you didn't say all the time. And all the time, God is good. Yes, we say these things. But in Psalms here, with Psalms 31, we notice that David's walk here on earth at times appeared to be soul-destroying, appeared to be unrelenting. It felt like it was never stopping and never ending. Our souls, family, are yearning too. For relief, they are yearning too for change. Some of us are screaming inside of us. You know? If you could hear the person next to you, you could probably hear, God help! We are screaming. Right? Some of us can't take it any longer. We don't have energy. We don't have the strength. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been reading the word. I've been coming to church. I've been serving. I've been a good person in the community. I even tithe. I even offer. I do all these things, but I'm dealing with stuff, man. I don't know what's happening. I'm losing confidence in God. David was the same. Psalms 13, verse 1 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? I am here doing my best. I am here serving you. I'm here for you. But how long? It felt like when others were making it in life, when everybody else was in joyful state, he was the one feeling like this trial is taking too long. But in the midst of this journey, family, what if I had said to you that there is a promise? Because when we read the Psalms, we see David going from a depressed state, eh? And all of a sudden coming out and becoming to a praise state. And then he goes back and then he comes out It's as if he knows God's promises. He continuously declares that, God, I'm going through this, but God, you are good. But God, you are worthy. But you are well. He knew. It was like he was going through a dip and then he knows how to come out. What if I told you there is a promise of refuge? Because David had this refuge. A promise of divine help that you and I can hold on while we cross this river, this Jordan River. We can't cross this Jordan River, family, without the promises of God. The Israelites, it took them so many years because the promises of God were forgotten. But when we have the promises of God, all of a sudden the Jordan River splits and then the Israelites can walk past. Philippians 1, verse 4 to 6, Paul talks about this. He says, he who had begun a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Won't you look at the neighbor next to you and say to them, neighbor. Can we say neighbor like with energy? He who began a good work in your life will complete it. Hang in there. There is a promise for someone here today, and this promise is that God is good. God is good, and God is after your soul. He's after you, even in the trials, even when the enemy comes and pokes around because of what you are called for. In the midst of our confusion and distress, family, we can take courage in how David handled the trials of life. We can take courage in that. David knew where his success came from. When we read Psalm 31, we notice that he relied not on other people's promises. You know, David never relied on other people. He didn't even rely on himself as a king with all of these things that he could just snap a finger and things would come to him. He didn't even rely on himself, on his kingship. He didn't rely on people because he knew that it always ends in disappointment. Relying on yourself always ends in disappointment. Relying on people always ends in disappointment. But relying on the word of God, relying on his promises and what he says, the Lord says there in Paul says, it shall come to completion. I'd rather be dead and know that, God, I'm already dead. I'm holding on to your completion because it is only your word that has promised me things. I've been promised things from my parents, from my uncles, from my friends, from my teachers, and man's promise is futile. But the promises of God I've always seen. They have come. And God's promises are not seasonal. God's promises are always yes and amen. And David knew something here because when we read the book of Psalms, we see here that he was not a seasonal man. He was a man consistently holding on to God's promises. And this is someone God calls someone after my heart. Psalms 138:2 declares, you have magnified your word above all your name. Meaning that God's word, God holds his word above his name. He holds his word above his name. You know, there are people in this world that we hold our names very sexy, yeah? We hold our names really like entitled, especially when there's money, you know? We say the family of the Maposas, yeah? The family of the Smiths, yeah? The Richard Bransons, the family of the Bransons. Right, we hold stature to that. But God does not hold his name above his word. He holds his word above his name. So what he says comes to pass. When he says, let there be sun, till today there is still sun. And says, moon, till today there is moon. And when Jesus shut the storm Until today, that ocean, till today, is quiet. It's amazing. God is a promise keeper, family. David would cry out to the Lord about his problems and cry and cry and cry. But David constantly reminded God of his word. That is so beautiful. Okay? Like us, right? We cry and we curse the Lord when things don't happen our way. But we come back to God and say, God, but I need you. I thank you and I love you for who you are. Family, there is power in relying on God's promises in the midst of our trials. There's power in holding on and relying on God's promises. It squeezes out selfishness. In our trials, when we hold on to the Lord, it squeezes out selfishness. So it's for our benefit. Because selfishness now all of a sudden is out of you. It molds our character. We get prepared. Sometimes we cry in our trials and we say, God, but what we don't realize that in our trials, the Lord prepares us too. As the enemy is busy, the Lord is preparing us for a gooder thing, a better thing. And that is his mission. You know, family, I've been a man of many attacks since childhood. many attacks since a child. And one of them was death. I mean, I've gone through, I don't know how many car accidents. I was declared dead at some point from a car accident. And when I got into a hospital, all of a sudden, I just woke up. And so I've gone through the trials of death, the torment of death, like many who in the Bible who went through death, the trials of death, like David went through the trials of death, like Moses went through the trials of death, like Abraham, like Jesus Christ himself in the trial of death. So death was a really daunting thing for me. Even the enemy would come from a young age, even growing up. I'm talking many years, I'm talking about a torment for many years. Even from my childhood where the enemy would come and whisper in my ear and say to me, I'm going to kill you. Even in the dreams where the enemy will say, I'm going to deal with you, I'm going to kill you. And I was so blessed that I got baptized by the Holy Spirit before being baptized in the water. I don't know how. I don't know how. I don't know how. But from that moment, I could hear in my ear an opposite word. And it would say Philippians 2, 10, verse 10 to 11. Philippians 2, verse 10 to 11. And when I went to read it, it said, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every time I confess this, it's just as if these things would flee away. Every time I would confess it, it's like all these things, they would flee. The torment would flee. The torment would flee. And then I realized that, oh, so this is how I respond in God's way. When the enemy torments, I respond in the God way. And the torment that I would respond to is that every knee will bow because the enemy hates that. The enemy is a rebellious enemy. He does not want you to tell him that bow down. He does not want you to tell him to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he would hate that. And the more I kept saying that and the more I meditated on that, it was the more the enemy flee and moved. Family, every fiery arrow coming your way prepares you for your future. Just like Moses. Like many people in the Word of God, the fiery arrows that we face, they prepare us for our future. Some arrows are really painful, ne? Some are really painful. Some we can't even digest because they're so painful. But today I want to say something. From that deliverance, and from holding on to the promises and relying on the promises of God to come out of that trial, because that trial was preparing me for something. Today I sit with many people who are crippled by fear. And then you realize that, sure, 20-something years back then, God was already preparing you for a time that he's going to put you with people who are crippled by the torment of the enemy. And so sometimes our trial actually prepares us for our calling. It prepares us for our mission field. It prepares us to bring Christ, salvation, deliverance to those who are tormented by many different spirits out there of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Psalms 18:10, the word says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We don't know anything about tomorrow and what tomorrow brings us. But relying on God's promises guides us through the trials. It eliminates the fear. And in the vortex that we are going through, you find yourself secured and anchored somehow. Because it is when we run to this tower that we find the peace. Jeremiah 18:6 says, this is when the Lord speaks to Jeremiah, when the Lord sends Jeremiah to a potter man's house and says to Jeremiah, go to this potter man's house and I will talk to you when you get there. And so the Lord, when Jeremiah gets there, he sees the potter man working with clay, you know, and the clay falls and he picks it up and he's working with his hands and working on this. And the Lord says to Jeremiah, and he said, can I not do with you, Israel, which is you and me, as the potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. So what Jeremiah is learning from this is that life and its circumstances are the potter's wheel. You know the potter's wheel? That wheel that spins. Yeah? It's like life. Ne? It goes, it never stops. You can go sleep and say, hey, let me sleep this thing off. In the morning, it's still going, woo, 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 it's waiting for you, right? And God is the potter. And we are the clay, right? And the water that makes the clay soft so that the Lord can work on the clay is the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit comes in us bit by bit in our journey, we soften and we soften and we soften. And that even when the torment and the vortex is going on and it's spinning and spinning and spinning, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, the more the Lord is able to work you. So some of our trials are really about the Lord working us. There are other trials, but there's other trials. Because sometimes we're always looking at the devil and say, it's the devil, devil. But there are other trials where we need to say, because God says, I'm doing a good thing. Even when this trial is that I'm doing a good thing in your life. And so we have to hold on to, he is good and he is excellent. And he's doing an excellent thing in my life. So David's journey of trials in Psalms 31 teaches us that God does not punish us. He's not a God that punishes us. No, it's not his nature. Your trial is an opportunity to surrender to God. It's an opportunity to surrender to God. Not a trial when you are in control. It's an opportunity to allow the Lord to work what he's doing in our lives. Your trial is an opportunity to be molded and refined for God's purpose and plan for your life. The one who brought you here, family, will keep you. The one who brought you and me here will keep us. I'm reminded of Joseph. Same journey where he got betrayed by his brothers. And was sold, right? But inside of Joseph, what was there? There was a mission. There was a purpose. There was something that God was going to use this so that he can be able to control and be a governor in the enemy's camp and be a governor for God's children. So God was molding him so that he can deliver the children of God out of captivity. Hallelujah. So our trials, they get us prepared to deliver those that God is sending us, because each and every one of us have what? We have sheep. Each and every one of us have a church. We have a ministry. It might not be in this building, but it's out there in the world. And our trials prepare us for that. Let's look at what Joseph says in Genesis 50, verse 19 to 20. After deep trial of many years, But Joseph said to them, to his brothers, "Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God." Am I in the place of God? Which is a question. You intended to harm me. Enemy, you intended to harm me. Situation, you intended to harm me. Sickness, you intended to harm me. We can call all these issues of our lives. You intended to harm me. But God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. Sometimes our trials are really about saving lives, family. We've got to look at the cross and not look at our problems. Because when we look at the cross, God is preparing us for our mission field. Whatever the enemy is scheming for evil in your fiery trial, know that there is God who is a promise keeper. Some go to theology school. And we Christians, we go through the theology of life. Yeah? The theology of life. And this is where God molds us. And we come out refined. We come out refined for souls. It's always about souls. It's always about lives. Jeremiah 1:12 says, God doesn't just make promises. He actively watches over his word to ensure that it is fulfilled. Family, we have a safe place in the word. We have a safe place in God. In your trials, know that you have a safe place in the word. For the word is our shepherd. It shepherds our souls. It shepherds our souls to go drink the good water, to go eat the good grace. The word guides us to God's purposes and plans for our lives. It's like a masterpiece. It's like a blueprint to our lives. We get to see where we are going. Jesus was led to the wilderness too. Yeah? And sometimes we feel like we're in the wilderness. Jesus Christ too was led in the wilderness for a purpose that we are enjoying today. We are enjoying the purpose of what Christ did for us. What is your purpose in your trial? I think it's something we should ask the Lord. Because sometimes we always are fighting the trial and actually not seeing, maybe this one of 20 years, this one of 5 years, this one of 7 years, maybe there is something to this. Maybe the Lord is leading me to my mission field. And maybe the Lord is working my character. It may be a marital issue. Maybe God is doing something in that. It may be your children. I've seen many families where the household, where the mom is such a prayer warrior, but their children are left. But that very same mother is raising so many sons and so many daughters that becomes greater things in life. And you sit and you wonder, God, what is this? What is this? Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord. Trust in the word with all of your heart, which is all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your will. Trust in the word. Not how I feel. Because I think if David trusted in how he felt, you would have died a long time ago. Long time ago. This is the man who held on to the word. He held on to the promises, even in the extremity of what the enemy was doing. He held on to the promises of the Lord. In closing, in your time of trial, family, commit your spirit to the word. Commit your spirit to the word of God. Give it to the Lord. Let him mold you. Let him be your the potter. Allow the Holy Spirit to drip in, to saturate you, so that the Lord may mold you into what he wants. Humble yourself before the Lord in prayer and in praise. There's a pattern that we see with David. He was always in prayer and in praise. Even though he cried, he didn't keep quiet when he was tormenting. He shouted, he screamed, he said, "Ah, I'm dying. Something is up." But at the same time, he knew that he needs to come back to who? His creator. And came back to him and said, "Lord, I trust you. I love you. I know that you will win my battles." Lament before the Lord, for the battle is not yours. Lament no longer. It doesn't matter how long the trial is. Lament in the Lord. The battle is not yours. Trust in God's victory. Trust in God, not your victory, God's victory for you. For you, because he is a promise keeper. Praise the Lord. I leave you with Hebrews 5, verse 7 to 9. That summarizes what trials are really are there for. During the days of Jesus Christ's life on earth, so when he was in the flesh, he offered up prayers of petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he leaned in obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so here we see that our trials are for people. Our trials are for souls. Our trials are not for us to be selfish about and cry about, but our trials are for us to be selfless and in knowing in due time that God is preparing me for a mission. Amen. Amen. Amen.